Thank you. Well, God bless you. Good to have you here this morning. I'm looking forward to a wonderful time in his presence. This morning we've got Brother Chris Take with us. He's going to be speaking, so we want to be praying for him. Amen. Is it well with you this morning? Amen. I like to sing that. I was thinking about this song this morning. It is well with my soul. Let's sing that. QC. When peace like a river attendeth my way.
The shout of the end.
He has forgiven me. My sins have been washed from His memory by the blood of the Lamb of Calvary. I know He has forgiven me. I know He has forgiven me. My sins have been washed from His memory by the blood of the Lamb of Calvary. I know He has forgiven. One last time. I know He. Yes, my sins have been washed from His memory by the blood.
Amen. I'm thankful I've been forgiven this morning. Amen. Why don't we praise Him a little bit? Let's sing that song, Every Praise is to Our God. KFF.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship, one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Every praise is to our God. God, my Savior. God, my Healer. God, my Deliverer. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. God, my Savior. Yes, He is, and every praise to our God, every word of worship, one accord, oh yes, oh, every praise is to our God, sing hallelujah to our God, glory hallelujah to our God, every praise. Every praise to our God. God, my Savior. God, my Healer. God, my Deliverer. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. God, my Savior. God, my one accord, every praise, yes, every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God, glory hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to our God. God, my Savior. God.
his name. Praise his name. Amen. We're going to go to prayer at this time. We want to remember Brother Joe Drummond prayer this morning. Also, Sister Connie Hughes is asking prayer. I want to continue remembering her. Brother Ben and Sister Abby McCafferty, they're not feeling well this morning. So remember them. And if you have a need on your heart, just raise your hands to our Heavenly Father. I know there's a lot of sickness going around, so we just want to pray, Lord. We'll just touch each and every one. Why don't we just bow our heads as we go to prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before your throne of grace this morning. Lord, thankful, Lord, that we have this opportunity to gather together in your house. Lord, a place where we can come and just let off the pressure, Lord Jesus. And we're just so thankful, Lord, that we know you're here. You're moving amongst us, Father. And Lord, this morning we've read these requests, Lord, just asking that you would just touch each and every one. Is that season, Lord, flu's going around, allergies, Lord, different things. And Lord, we just think of Brother Joe Drum this morning asking prayer. Sister Connie is asking for prayer. Lord, we just lift them up to you, to your throne, Lord, that you would just come down in a mighty way and touch each and every one. And Lord, we continue to remember Brother Keith, Lord, that you continue to move in his life, Lord, for his healing, Father. Lord, it's good to see him this morning here in church. And Lord, we're just relying on you, Lord. And Father, I just ask you just come take this service. Take Brother Chris, Lord, the word you've placed on his heart, Father, that you would just speak to our souls this morning. We just commit ourselves to you now. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Why don't you turn around and shake hands with one another? Say God bless you. It's good to have you here. And those joining us online, I know where the drums are, Sister Connie, they're joining us this morning, so we want to say God bless you to them as well. Amen. Let's sing God is Good all the time.
God is good all the time. He puts a song of praise in this heart of mine. My God is good.
just thank you for the day. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, just to be here in your house and to feel your presence among us. Lord, now as we take up these tithes and offerings, Lord, we ask you just to bless them, use them for your glory. We ask you just to be with the rest of us through the service today, Lord, just be with the speaker. Amen.
Amen. As we get ready to turn the service to Brother Chris, I'd like to sing a song. I guess we don't have any special, so I'll sing a special this morning. Some of you may know it, Worthy, Worthy the Lamb That Was Slain. If you know it, just sing it with me. Key, I think it's key of G. Okay. Hear the cries of the shackled from the onset of time. For the chains of defeat, there's no set us free.
so good to be here with all of you again, and I have my family with me this time, so we had a good time just driving down and driving back, so yeehaw. Amen. I bring greetings to Brother Barry. He texted me this morning, and also my pastor, Brother Nathaniel Sias. Brother Barry called me last week, and he said, there's a rumor you moved again, and I said, no, we're still with Brother Nathaniel in northern Ohio, so good to be here. Is Sister Amy? Where's Sister Amy? Sister Amy, can you play a song? Can we do a song? Okay, you can have your seats this morning. I didn't give him a warning, because if I give him a warning then and I don't do it, then I feel bad, and I feel less bad if I just spring it on him. You have a microphone. Yeah. Do you remember how to play it? Amen. We expect the church musicians really get the brunt of everything. And I need the words here, so I'll read over Sister Amy's shoulder. You know, this song fits this morning because, you know, we don't take anything upon ourselves to defeat the devil. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that defeats the devil. But we have a choice if we're going to take the devil's gospel, or we're going to take the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're going to make it. We have the choice we have to make. And I think the song, and you, rest of you, please be flat. Join in. Pick that fiddle up there, brother. You can call me crazy. You can say I'm a fool. I'm not saying it's easy. Sometimes it seems so blue. I remember where I came from and what you put me through, and I'm saying it's over. Devil, I'm a-saying we're through. You've got your chance to make something, and out of my life, and you turned me to shame.
Out of me.
time of my life, and I'm saying it's over. No, I'm saying we're through.
I hear some of you standing singing with me.
You had your chance to make something
Praise the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we'll turn to Luke chapter 15. I'm sorry, Galatians chapter 4, first. Thank you, musicians. I enjoyed that song service immensely. Singing with folks like these, it just... it's no work at all. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. We'll read the scripture and pray, and you can have your seats. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you're with us here this morning. Father, I pray you'd minister to our hearts, Lord Jesus. You know the needs that we have, Lord. And Father, the desire that we have to know you more, Lord. That, Father, the desire we have for greater victory, Lord Jesus, in our relationship with you. And Father, every demon in hell is fighting that relationship, Lord, and this morning, may you come, Father, as we come to sit down and lay our swords next to us and hang our shields on the backs of our seats, Lord, and take our helmet off, Lord, so that the King can speak to us before we go out again to battle, Lord. I pray that you would prepare our hearts this morning for the battle that is ahead of us, Lord, and heal us for the battles that are behind us. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can have your seats this morning. You know, I've been thinking the last couple of days how when you come to church, it's kind of like that. I know the devil comes to church too, but it's kind of like that. You come and you sit and you have a chance to hear the King who you're fighting for speak to you and give you a greater vision, tell you what's coming next in this campaign against the enemy. And all the while he's ministering to you and sharpening your swords and fixing the dents in your armor and healing you from the battles that are behind you. Because all of us can raise our hands and say we have fought some battles in the last week. We have fought some battles since Wednesday, and many of us have scars and wounds from those battles. And today, this morning, the Lord is here to speak to us. The King is here to speak to us, and the medics are going through, the angels are going through the pews and touching you up and putting some bandages and changing your bandages And also the king is preparing you for the battles that will come as soon as you walk out this door. And again, also while you sit here. So it's an amazing thing because eternity is not bound to time. So God can do a lot in a minute. So I'd like to speak this morning on a bit of a different angle on the story of the prodigal, which we'll read here shortly. But I'd like to take the title, The Prodigal's Brother. And push from your mind the idea that the prodigal's brother was a Pharisee, or the prodigal's brother was just a real bad guy, because we're going to take the angle that while he had issues, the prodigal's brother was still a son. Because the prodigal came back to the father. So the brother was still a son. Amen. So Luke chapter 15, if you'll turn there, I'll read this quote here from It Is the Rising of the Sun. Brother Branham says, "No wonder the gospel is good news. The very word gospel means the good news. The good news what? If a man died for our sake, that's good news. If Christ was born, that's good news. But never was there news like this news, that he who made the promise has confirmed the promise, that he's alive forevermore." Brother Branham is talking about the message of the hour. The message of the hour came to tell us that Christ, who rose from the dead 2,000 years ago and was missing through the seven church ages, they were pushing for something that you have today, the fullness of the word come to you, that Christ today has risen again. The word has risen in our day, and that is the message of the hour. And he's saying that's better news. That's even, gooder news. Even better news than the good news. He says he's alive forevermore and have the keys of both death and hell in his hand. All the gloom was shook away. There was no more gloom to be seen, for the sun was up from the grave. There was no, well, he will come or he may come. He had already come, the gospel, good news. He says, notice the very message of the gospel itself is to prove to the people that he is risen. And the message of the hour came to prove to us that Christ is risen. You can't be, the point I'm trying to make. You can't be heir as a son to all things if all things are not available. Luther was not heir, could not be heir to all things. Potentially he was, and there was bride through every seven church ages, but I'm talking about the restoration of the word. You can't be heir to all things unless all things are available to you. The father doesn't come and says, "All right, you know, I still have this investment that's in the negative right now, but when it comes to fruition, you know, it'll be yours." No, it's already manifested. The investments have already manifested in our age, and that is the manifestation of the message of the hour. The word down through seven church ages finally returned on its investment. Jesus Christ came, died on the cross, rose again, gave the message to Paul, and Paul began to minister that message in the first church age. But the Ephesians didn't know what they had, so they lost the rights to it. So the Lord's investment went into the ground, because that investment had to sit there and simmer and gain traction through the church age. But then there came a day when God called a man by the name of William Branham to rise up, and he began to speak through him, and now the manifestation of that investment is in full complete fruition for you today. And all you have to do, if you know you're a son, is write a check and draw from the account. It is available to you, but you can't draw the check until it's available. But in our age, the message of the hour has made all things available to you. So then what is the problem? Why do we fall short? Because we forget we're no longer servants, but we are sons of God. We live under, you forgive me, I got something in my throat. We live under our privilege, not because... excuse me, we live under our privilege because we, not because God has failed us or the message has failed us or our pastor has failed us. We live under our privilege because of our mindset says, "I'm a servant." He says, "He is risen. Go tell my disciples that I am risen from the dead, and I'll meet with them to confirm this to them." The message of the hour was sent to tell you, his disciples, that Jesus Christ, the Word, has risen again in our age.
Can I get a cough drop, brother? Somebody. Sorry. I sing that song, and there you go. I'm not like Brother Isaiah Brooks, man. Guy can sing several songs and then preach for 2 hours and sing more songs, and he's still got a voice. It says, go tell my disciples that I'm risen from the dead, and I'll meet with them to confirm this to them. Oh, God. Thank you, sir. Thank you. He says, oh God, how in this last day there shall be light again across the earth. And I'll prove to my disciples, go tell them that I'm not dead. I'm not a tradition, but I'm a living Christ. I'll meet them. Take this message to my disciples. I am risen from the dead. The gospel, good news. So you are called, the ministry is called to take the good news that Christ is risen again today. The word is risen. I say again, I don't mean he died again a second time. I mean the word is in full complete manifestation. So now turn with me to Luke chapter 15. And we're going to start reading in verse 11. You love the Lord? Amen. Praise the Lord. Me too. He's a good God. Who are we that he chose us, right? I mean, you can think of somebody else better he could have chose. You look at yourself and look at your mistakes, and you think there should be so-and-so would be way better than me. But here you are, because my sons can't change the fact that I'm their dad, whether they like it or not. And at this stage, they like it, so you know they're not old enough to know better. So whether you like it or not, you can't change the fact that you're a son. And when I say son, I'm talking about daughters too. So you just take that. That's all encompassing. When I say sons, you can't change the fact that you're a son of God. You know, brothers and sisters, we're a triune being, right? We have the body, the spirit, and the soul. So in the soul, right, that's the seed gene of God. Amen? And once God tugs on your heart and you give your heart to the Lord and you come to serve him, now he is now the Lord, the captain of the hosts is in charge of your soul. And in your spirit is the mind, right? Did you know that? Your mind is in your spirit. Because your brain is not your mind. Your mind is in your brain. So your mind is part of your spirit. That's where your emotions are, your reasoning, your emotions and reasoning and all those kind of things, including your mind. That's in your spirit. And then your body, of course, we all can see that. And I know your spirit is in you because you're looking at me. And you're nodding and you're saying things and you're alive, right? And so in the spirit, you can answer this question, where did Brother Branham say the greatest battle ever fought was? In your mind. So that means the battle is set in array in your spirit. So from the soul comes the word of God into your spirit as an army, right? The more, and then from the body comes, you know, the sexy girl or the temptation to lie or whatever it might be, all sickness in your body. It comes from the body. So the devil attacks inwardly, but the word of God attacks, out, the devil attacks from the out to the in. The word of God comes from the inside to the out. So now, if you're feeding your soul, your spirit is strengthened by the word of God so that when the battle comes from the outside and comes into your spirit, now in your mind, there's a battle set in array. Who wins? The word of God. And when the word of God in your spirit wins, what does your body put into action? The word of God. But when the word is not nigh thee in thy mouth, it's not something you've been feeding on, you are still a son that does not change. But he's weak. So the devil comes into the mind with a battle. Who wins? The devil. He wins a battle. He doesn't win the war because you're still a son. So when the devil wins a battle in your mind, what does your body do? The works of the flesh. Your body does things your soul regrets. But one thing never, ever changed. You are still a son. So when 6 Second Smith would pound Brother Branham in the face, you know, have you heard that saying? Everyone has a great plan. They get punched in the face, right? You heard that. And he would hit the ground. He would tell him, I'm teaching you to take a hit. So sometimes we get into these places in our minds. Again, that's our spirit. And we start, the Lord allows the devil to come in and punch us in the face. We hit the ground. And the Lord is there saying, you're still a son. Get up. You're still a son. Get up. Because sometimes the attacks from the devil are not your mistakes. They're trials. They're hardships in your life. And when you get punched in the face, you have a choice in your spirit. Are you going to wear... Now hold that thought. You have a choice in your spirit. Now hold that thought. There's a scripture in Isaiah 61 that says, he has given us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So where are you wearing that garment? You're wearing that garment on your spirit. So when the devil comes with the heaviness and the chaos of the world, and he offers you a garment, he says, you can wear this because things are really, really hard. You can wear this because everybody's against you. He's offering you a garment of heaviness that comes with depression and anxiety and all this angst and this dirty feeling in your spirit. But you have a choice. Like we say, you have a choice to say, no, I'm going to take the garment of praise and I'm going to wear that in my spirit. Now who's winning? The Word of God is winning. The Word of God is winning. But you have the choice. Are you going to lay on the ground and moan? Or are you going to get up and say, no, I'm going to keep going onward? And your choice is not your victory. Your choice is a surrender to the victory. Your choice is a surrender to the victorious one, who is Jesus Christ. This is not mind over matter because we have no ability of ourselves. But when we choose to put on the garment of praise and we thank God for what he's going to do for us, we shed off the garment of heaviness and we say, no, I'm going to surrender to the Word of God, and we walk out victorious in the body. Luke. 15, verse 11. Okay, so I think you're with me now. He said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Pause. This son, we're going to get to the prodigal's brother, so you hang on. It's coming, right? That's how they make you keep watching. It's coming. The answer to your question is coming, but listen to the whole program first. So the prodigal, he had a servant's mindset too. Because he went to his father and he says, I have done all this for you all of these years, and what you have for me is rightfully mine because of what I've done, so give it to me. See, he was thinking like a servant. So he took what it was given, what was rightfully his, and he knew all along, I'm working towards the goal when I get paid for all the years of service that I've given to the Father. And then I'm going to go and I'm going to do what I want. You see, he wasn't doing what he wanted. He had the mindset of a servant. So because he had the mindset of the servant, what was he wearing in his spirit? The garments of a servant. So his body behaved itself like a servant. And he went out and spent in riotous living. And if you look up the words, it means he did not think about his purchases. He wasn't investing his money. He was just all buying everything he can imagine. Just wasting his money. You know, he had, let's say he had $2 million. He walks into a store and he's like, you know, hey, I'll take that $200,000 car right now, cash. He wasn't making wise choices with his money. He was just spending it because in his mind, hey, I got it all. But all comes to an end. And so he was living like a servant, doing the things of a servant, acting like a servant because of the mindset that he had. And if you have a mind, whatever your mindset is, that's who you are spiritually. Because where is your mind? In your spirit. If you don't agree with me on where your mind is it in your body? Is your mind in your body? No, it can't be. If your mind is in your body, then they could plug things into your brain and read your mind. Is your mind in your soul? So then where else could it be? Your spirit. All right. Well, some of you are with me. Some of you are questioning this weird guy with a mustache. All right. So when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Okay. Also, husks in this scripture refer to a actually good food that they would feed to the swine to fatten them up right before they got butchered. And that food was the same thing that the lower class people ate. So he wanted that food, and they wouldn't even let him have what the lowest class of people would eat. They would not give to him. Also, Jews don't eat pigs. So he was in a Gentile country. Which you could take two ways. You could say, wow, he really was low because he's a Jew living with the Gentiles. Or you can say, wow, the prodigal must have been a Gentile. You can take it both ways. Because we're Gentiles. Amen. And we're prodigals. All of us at some point were prodigals. So they wouldn't give him even the lowest food. So the pigs ate better than him, basically. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Now you see it. Full transparency. He thought like a servant. Because his mindset was, I can go back and be a servant. He was finally willing to be completely and totally honest with the Father on what he thought of himself. Let me ask you a question. Though he thought that, was he still a son? He was. So he was willing to be completely honest with the Father. I think of myself as a servant. And I want, you can read the rest of that. We're going to skip this part because I want you to think on the story like this. His honesty drove him back to the one man who could change his life. Saints of God, when you're willing to become honest with Jesus Christ in your prayers and come before him and say, I don't know how to do this. I need you. He puts a robe on you and he gives you a ring and he kills a fatted calf. And you say, but I don't understand. No, you don't. No, look at what I've done. What I've done. He says, no. But you're my son. Amen. But it was his humility. Because there's two examples in this scripture we're going to read. The brother, because this is the younger brother. The prodigal is the younger brother. The younger brother's humility drove him to the father. But the older brother's anger drove him to the father. But it was this final culmination, this final moment where God struck him down so low that he was willing to go back to the Father. It doesn't matter what he thought of himself, saints of God. Catch this. It didn't matter what he thought of himself. All that mattered was that mission accomplished. The Son is going to the Father. The Lord works in our lives to drive us to positions So we will make decisions because he can't force you. Let me say that again. He will drive us to positions so that we are forced to make decisions because he won't make you be a son. Sorry, make you think you're a son. You were born a son. Before the foundation of the world, you were a son, but God will craft it. Look, the devil, for thousands of years, has been crafting. He's read your family. Read, he was there when your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was born. And as he grew up, he already knew his grandfather and his father. So the devil had all these special things, his toolbox. And he told his demons, he said, the Take family, they have this, 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 and these weaknesses. So go ahead. At this age, introduce this weakness. And at this age, introduce this weakness. Every battle from the enemy is handcrafted. The Bible says he is a worthy adversary, but he's a defeated foe. Okay, so if the devil can do that, and he's not a creator. He's not a creator. He's not omniscient. Think about that. The devil is not omniscient. He can't be more than one place at one time. Wrap your mind around that one. So he needs 200,000 demons released from the river Euphrates if he's going to tackle 7.5 billion people. Maybe we're at 8 now. So you got the demons, they're running back and forth, man. They're working hard. They're working hard. And they're the adversary. They're already defeated before they even began. They're defeated. Jesus Christ is the creator of all the universe. Man made this chair, but it's made of the elements that are the spoken word of God. You're wearing a jacket that somebody sewed, made from thread, or that was made from elements that God spoke into existence. So he's really the one in control of everything. So if the devil can handcraft situations to attack you, taking into account your nationality, where you're from, where you grew up, who your parents were, and on back through your history, what time you live in, what's accessible in the modern era, what can the creator of the universe do to craft and position you for victory? He's a worthy adversary, but a defeated foe. So therefore, Jesus Christ can create the perfect thing you need to fight and be victorious. And craft positions to put you in where you think you're at a dead end. You know what? I love dead ends with God. Because there's nowhere to go. So you know you're fixing to do something, Lord. Because I've done all that I can. I've done all that I can. And I'm here now, and I know your promise said, your word said, and so I begin to praise him. Instead of succumbing to the depression of a dead end, I begin to praise him for the way through. And I put on the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Okay, so now the prodigal son, he's back to the father. The father gives him a robe and a ring on his hand, and the son tells the father, I have sinned against thee, and I sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Saints of God, there's nothing you can do to change the fact that you're a son. So now, a big feast happens. A big feast happens. And I want to read this quote in Jehovah Jireh. It says, all the world is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Waiting for the church to get back in its place again, sons of God, to be made manifest. Waiting for that hour. He says, the church is so far away from its place, it needs to be back to be sons of God again, rulers, governors of the earth under the spiritual reign. It will be someday when the chief one comes, Jesus Christ, the great millennium. Nature is groaning for that day. Okay, so now Brother Branham is talking about the millennium to come. So what brings us into that position is the manifestation of the sons of God. So I think I've said it here before. Are you waiting on God or is God waiting on you? Because you can never be manifested as a son until you think you're a son. until your mindset changes from that of a servant to that of a son. Because if your mindset changes and your spirit says, I'm a son of God, because you have the word. Don't just go all, you know, oh, well, I'm just a son and I'm just a daughter. Praise God. You know, there's people all over the world doing that while drinking a beer. I saw it last night. I went down to the lobby, the hotel, to study because my kids were, you know, they're being kids in the hotel room together. And you know, they're at the bar. They're arguing about Jesus while drinking beer because there's a little, you know, cafe thing there. And it's not a bar, so don't get any weird ideas. And I'm just thinking, you know, she's telling him, you need Jesus. He's saying, well, I don't even know if the Bible's real. And they're both sinning. So it's not because you think, right? But something has to anchor in your soul. So you got to find yourself in the Word of God. You got to figure out who you are. You got to know who you are. And sometimes, and excuse me, not sometimes. You got to know who you are. So you have to go to the Father and say, identify me. And He identifies you. He says, you're a son. Or he says, I have nothing to do with you. But here's the key, saints of God. Here's the key. You'll never go to the Father to figure out who you are if you are not a son. A servant runs away from church, never comes back. He's never in the pig swallow thinking, I ought to go back to that guy. No, because he was a servant of that guy. He just continues on with his life. So the desire that you have inside of you to be something more than who you are today in Jesus Christ is a testimony that there's something in your soul that testifies to eternity. So the earth is literally looking at you saying, wake up, dude, you're a son. I hurt. You know, China's putting data centers in the ocean now. They're heating up the water. There's war and rumors of war. The earth is groaning for you to catch the revelation. You're not a servant. You're a son of Jesus Christ. But in our minds, we've been so conditioned and so tricked through generations that we act like servants. Now, let's get to who all of we are today. Because all of us are the prodigal's brother. What is the difference between the prodigal? If they both have the servant mindset, what's the difference between the prodigal and his brother? The brother stayed. The brother stayed in church. He stayed in church. His brother left the Lord, left the fold, went out into the world, lived the most immoral, trashy life you can imagine. And all the while, his brother, his older brother, sat on the pew in the Father's house and became bitter and upset. I'm here. I'm taking care of the farm. I'm doing the chores he was supposed to do. I'm taking care of all of this stuff because he left. Look at me. Look at what I'm doing. I'm working hard and doing all this. And I don't even get anything. You know, I don't even get a thank you. I don't get anything. He's sitting there in the pew with a servant's mindset. He never left, though. He stayed. We have come to the place in time where we are now dealing more with the prodigal's brother than the prodigal. Because you stayed. You think you're something special because you stayed, but are you taking what God has given to you? Are you serving God? Do you come to church because you're supposed to? Do you come to church because it's the thing to do and at least I'm not them? You are no different except for your current location. That's it. You're still a servant. And you know what? Servants make really poor sons. So you wonder, why? Why? Why are these problems? Why are these mind battles? Why are these issues in my life? And I'm not talking about trials and tribulations. I'm talking about things that just don't go away. Why? Why am I? I'm always at strife with this person, at strife. I barely want to even be here. I got to keep my hair long because that's what I have to do to go to heaven. Servant mindset. But you say, well, I'm here. I'm here, so I'm better than him. But there's something that, even in all of that, you're still a son. But the word, the message of the hour, not the message of the denominational churches, the message of the hour came to tell you, you're no longer a servant, but you are a son. And if you can take a hold of that this morning, if you can get a revelation that you are a son, you'll stop acting like a servant. You'll stop sitting on the pew with a grudge and a bitterness in your heart, and you'll start praising God for who he is and for what he's done and for what he's going to do. But the problem, that the reason we don't have victory in our lives, is because we don't believe that we are heir to all things. Now his elder son, in verse 25, was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. He heard celebration. He heard them having a good time. And he got mad. Because you know what? He didn't remember the last time he had fun in church. He could not remember the last time he had a good time. And so when he saw rejoicing, he saw rejoicing over what God had done, he got mad. Because he's some kind of weird psychopath? Because he wanted that and didn't know how to get it. So you're sitting and you can see the people around you. I'm not talking about one service here and there that happens. Or hey, we have days. We have days. I understand that. But I'm talking all the time. You hear people talking about, man, God is so good, with conviction in their heart. And you wonder, what is he so good about? But you're still here. You're still doing all the things you're supposed to be doing. You're still shearing the sheep. You're still planting the next crop. You're doing it all. And because you're doing it all, you think you're entitled to something. He got mad. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. He went to a servant. Servants talk to servants, not to sons. Servants talk to servants. So maybe you need to change your friends. Maybe you need to change your friends. Or friend. The Lord will give us a friend, and so will the devil. And in all of these things, how do we judge this? How do we know? We judge it by the Word of God. Am I getting closer to the Word, or am I getting further away? That's how you do it. The Word of God is your anchor. So you go to the Word, and if you find yourself struggling to read the Word because you're thinking about, you know, that preacher who did this thing because that friend is telling you about it, or you're thinking about, because remember, I'm not talking about worldliness. I'm talking about servants in the church. Not the good kind. Because I know we're all servants of the Most High God, right? But you understand what I mean. Servants. So you're in. See, the devil has. Oh, it's perfect. Guys, it's perfect. He's like, look, don't chase him out of church. Just get him chained up in church. Then they think they're fine. Give them the right kind of friends so when they go to youth camp, they don't have to be challenged. You know, they just all hang out together. Saints, young people, I've been a dorm leader for a few times at youth camp. It doesn't take any discernment to know who's who. Within 6 hours, groups have been established. And you know where they are based on their revelation. They don't even know each other. Right? You know, we've heard it, and our dads have said it, our grandfathers have said it, birds of a feather flock together, right? But it's still true. As annoying of a phrase as I've heard my entire life, it's still true. Somebody come up with a new age version of that. So, a modern one. We still have some older folks, so the word new age, I mean, that just spikes all kind of hippie thoughts and everything like that. So, modern phrase. So, you're there, right? But you got the ones who, you know, they're servants talking back and forth. You never get challenged to move beyond a servant hanging out with servants. But when you start hanging out with sons, they say, we don't act like that. We don't talk like that. They might not even have to tell you that. You're just around them long enough and you realize these guys think differently. Because they're a son. They know they're a son, I should say. Because we're talking about all sons here. Talking about a group of sons and daughters. We're talking about that. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about worldliness or these situations coming in. Excuse me. We're talking about sons who have the wrong idea about who they are. And so when you're hanging out with brothers and sisters who know they're sons of God, they're going to challenge you to think differently. They're going to challenge your status quo. And that's going to make you very uncomfortable. But it's good. Uncomfortable is good. Right, Brother Chris? You're talking about that before church. We like to make ourselves miserable. Crawling in the mud, running through Luke, right? Running till we want to throw up, right? Jumping in ice cold water. That's how like Lake Erie gets really cold in the wintertime. It freezes over, but we find places to jump in. You make yourself miserable because when you're not, you really enjoy it. Right, Jeremy? You really enjoy it when you're not miserable. Pete, right? Yeah. If you're always cozy, I mean, you just... There's no point to it. So God does the same thing. I think, you know, the world looks at that, like the intensity of a sauna to like 39 degree water. The world, Finland especially, they look at that as like a spiritual thing. Bear with me, brother. And I believe that sometimes these things that the world picks up on, I believe it's a natural typing the spiritual. Because they're trying to get a spiritual experience without Jesus Christ. So they're using the body to get it. But our spiritual experience with Christ comes from the word in our soul. And God loves to test his children. He loves to take you through hard times so that when the times are good, you think, my God, you are so good. Wow, you're good. And he wants you to hear that even when you're having the hard times. And I'll tell you this, the more in the natural, the more you do, you know, the hot sauna and the cold water or the 100-mile runs or the 5-mile runs in the humidity and 3 o'clock in the afternoon in July. Like the more you do that, the more you enjoy the pain because you know there's a reward at the end. When you first start it, you hate yourself. And as a Christian, the same thing happens. When you first start, you wonder, what did you sign up for? What has happened? Where's the God that loves me? But as he dips you in the infernal heat and then drops you in the ice lake and pulls you back up into the infernal heat, suddenly the infernal heat feels amazing. And you get so hot and he drops you in the frozen lake. And you're like, wow. Sorry, I could just swim around and have a good time. With each iteration of that, you become more accustomed to the trials. And in both sides, you learn to praise him for what he's doing in your life. And you find yourself happier and happier to go from the sauna to the lake and from the lake to the sauna. You find yourself excited to go from the iciness of life to the infernal heat of life. And you don't care because you know God is doing something. And excuse me, all the while you know what's happening without you even knowing it. Your body is changing. Hallelujah. Your body is changing. And one day you're going to go from the icy lake and into eternity. And you're not even going to know it happened. All of a sudden you're going to go, you know what? I think now I should step over. And you step over because all through those trials, God was shaping your body. And he was crafting who you are to condition you and position you for a decision. Hallelujah. To step into eternity. Saints of God, that's all it's going to be. One day you're going to say, it's time. Hallelujah. But you'll never do it thinking you're a servant. So what God does is he makes you really, really mad at the prodigal. Or excuse me, he allows you. He allows you that anger to build. Actually, what I'm trying to say is he uses the anger you have towards the prodigal. So the prodigal's brother is upset. He's been fuming for years because he's there and his brother's not. And his brother finally comes back. I don't know how long I've been preaching. I think we're coming up. And his brother comes back and he's like, why are we rejoicing? And they say, hey, you know, they killed the fatted calf because your brother's returned. And he was angry. Verse 28. And he was angry and would not go in. He wouldn't even go in to the feast to celebrate the return of his brother. He had spent all those years mad at his brother for leaving because of the burden that he had to bear. And it caused him, when his brother returned, he expected the father to take him out to the woodshed. Does everybody know what that means? Good, we're in the South. Take him out to the woodshed. That's what he expected. Instead, the father said, have a new robe. Could you imagine if you just wasted all your inheritance and you came back home to dad? I guess we're in the South, to daddy. You came back home and he said, wow, you're back. Here's a brand new suit. It wouldn't make any sense. That's what he did. Or if you don't like suits, you know, here's a brand new set of clothes, right? Whatever you guys wear, you know. Here's what you wanted. Right? So now the father's clothing the prodigal and the brother's upset. Saints of God, this is always something that I've carried in my heart because we all have situations where we have loved ones in situations that burden us. And cause us pain, right? And I always try to carry this in my heart. The Lord gave it to me a few years ago. This thought. Be careful that your bitterness, that you don't get bitterness, because when that person comes and asks for forgiveness, if you're bitter, you won't receive them. So while they're in the world or while they're messed up, I'm looking forward to the day that they're going to come clean. I want to be ready for that day. You know, Paul and Silas, they went to prison, right? You remember that story? They went to prison. They had ministered to Lydia. They got her whole house saved. They went to leave, and Lydia said, no. The saints there said, stay longer. So they stayed. Why did they stay? For one guy, the jailer. Why were they whipped and beaten and locked up in the innermost part of that dark, stinky dungeon? For the jailer. God will put you chained to a wall of circumstances for one individual. Paul and Silas were the Philippian jailers, was the Philippian jailers' redemption. But they had a choice because you know what needed to happen? The walls had to come down. So what they had a choice, sitting there chained to that wall, Paul and Silas had a choice. Will we praise God for our situation and for what he's done in our lives, or will we sit with the spirit of heaviness? It was their choice to praise God in the midst of a trial, chained to a wall that broke the walls down, that gave that jailer redemption. Amen. Saints of God, God will put you in a place where you're chained to a wall by someone else's problems and mistakes, and you'll get whipped. You'll get whipped and beaten for them. That Philippian jailer was the one responsible for their injuries. And because Paul and Silas were willing with grace to be Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ was whipped and beaten and went to the cross and died, right? For you and I, while we were spitting on him in the courtyard. He did that because of the joy set before him. He is going to call us to do the same thing. If he has not yet already, he will in your life. Ask you to be the redemption for the very individual who has beat you and chained you to a wall. Spiritually, emotionally, maybe even physically. And if you choose to forgive and you choose to praise God, when that person comes because your walls broke down, you will be their redemption. And you know what happened? He washed their stripes. Before he even got baptized, he made sure they were taken care of. He put salve on their wounds and he washed them and he touched them up. He made what he did wrong right. Then he went to the waters of baptism. Saints of God, but you have to choose. Are you going to be a servant? and get mad and die chained to the wall? Or are you going to be a son and praise God for the dungeon? I'm closing here shortly. So he goes. He won't even come inside. But because he's a son, the Father came out to him. You see, the Father knew he was angry. You're sitting here this morning. Maybe you're angry. Maybe you're discouraged. But you're here. The Father knows what you're dealing with. And he will cause your anger, if that's what it is, because that's what this brother's was, to come to a total blow off. Because he wants to meet with you. Think about that. I mean, who is God? Unbelievable. He knows you're mad, and he will provoke your anger even worse to get you to a place where he can step out and talk to you. The brother's anger drove him to the festivities so that the father could step out and say, let's have a chat. So the father steps out and he tells him, and here's where we understand that he has been having a servant mindset. He tells him, you know, I've been here doing all of this for you and any of thy commandments, and yet you never gave me a kid. You never gave me something to make merry with my friends and have a good time and have church and have a jubilee. You never gave me that. And the father looks at him. And it ends here because I believe the son hugged the dad and went into the feast because he was a son. The father says to him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. So all that while, all that the father had, the older brother, the prodigal's brother, had rights to, but he left it on the shelf because he didn't think like a son. But the message that we have been given today has come to tell us we are no longer servants. We are sons. But sometimes we're the prodigal's brother. And in our anger, we forget who we are. But the man called it spiritual amnesia. We forget who we are. But just like that man got off the train, and musicians want to come. Just like that man got off the train, you know, and there, all of a sudden he looked up at the water tower and he recognized it. And he began to walk, and the soldier followed him as he walked down this path and that path and this path. And he turned here, and the soldier realized that the man knew where he was going, and he stayed a distance back. And the son came up to the porch, and the father was waiting. He said, I knew you'd come home. The same thing happened to the prodigal's brother with his anger. His anger led him down the path. The issue, whatever it would be, God will, because you're a son, God will use that to lead you back home to a revelation that you're not a servant. It's you're a son. If you know you're a son, you start winning battles in your spirit. And when you start winning battles in your spirit, you start looking like a Christian. You start acting like a Christian. You start talking like a Christian. So saints, don't change your church. Don't change your Bible. Don't find a new message. Just start listening to it. Just believe it. In both situations, the sons were brutally honest with the Father. When you go to prayer and you got issues in your heart, you look, saints of God, I'm not here. We're not here to play games. I know that's the spirit of who is Brother Brandon. Is he really who he says he is? That's going around everywhere. We're all having to deal with that. There's nothing wrong with getting on your knees or going on a walk. I like to pray standing up and walking around. You go to prayer and say, Lord, I don't believe it. But I'm here, and I don't know why. So, Father, show me truth. My sister, she left the Lord for several years, and when she came back, she was going to a denominational church, and God had delivered her from many different things and set her on the right track, and she was going to a denominational church, and her prayer was this: Lord, I want the truth, even if it's the message. But her heart was right. Excuse me. Her heart was looking for truth. And she sat down on a message church for a service. And God struck her heart. And she knew, this is what I need. And to this day, she's going to church serving God in the message. Say to God, if you with an honest, open heart come to the Father and you say, I'm mad at the prodigal. I want more than I have today. God will answer you. Or if you go to the prodigal, you say, look, I've wasted all you've given me. Sometimes, saints, we've made mistakes and we've wasted what God has given us. There is always redemption. There's always redemption. You know the story, that song, He'll Do Whatever It Takes. She wondered if she'd crossed the line. And Brother Branham had the same conversation with the Sunday school teachers. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I've crossed. Or maybe she wasn't a Sunday school teacher, but he had a conversation with the sisters. And I don't know. I don't know if I've just been done all this. I don't know if I'm too far gone. And he said, do you want to come back to serving the Lord? And she said, yes. He said, okay, you're back. Saints of God, it just takes a moment. You're talking about a God who is eternal. He is not bound to the confinement of time, but He is our Creator. Amen. We're going to pray, and I want you in your heart, if you're in this position, I want you to be honest with God. Look, God always is open, has an open ear to our deepest, darkest secrets. And I'll promise you this, if you're honest with Him, He never tells. He never gossips. He never talks about you. He never goes to the person next to you and say, do you know what kind of doubts he has? God never does that when you go to Him with an honest heart. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, this morning you have challenged us, Lord, to lay aside the thoughts that we are servants. Lord, to lay aside that condemnation the devil likes to put upon us and tell us we're servants and tell us that all that the Father has is not ours. But Lord, you have made us heir to all things. And Lord Jesus, we want to lay a hold of that this morning, Lord Jesus. Father, we realize many times our pitfall, Lord, is that we simply don't believe who we are. But Lord, in an age of people trying to find their identity, Lord, it's no wonder that now is the time you are calling on the bride to realize who she is. And Lord, you said if we would realize who we are, we would be an invincible army. We need to realize, we need a revelation that we are sons of God. We are no longer servants, but we are sons. Lord, I pray each one here this morning, Lord, no matter where they are in their journey, Lord, that you would encourage them. Lord, you would inspire them. Lord, you would set them on the path. Maybe it was just one word this morning. I pray that one word would strike deep and anchor in their soul, Lord, and begin to speak out so that that spirit can begin to win the battle. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your people, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing this song. Oh, yes, I'm a child of the King. Amen. You remember that slave? You all sing that song, but child of the King. Remember that slave, right? He said, I want to buy that guy because he works the best out of anybody. Well, we find out he's a child of the King over in Africa. So in this life, in the bondage, the world is crazy and the world is darkness. But you are a child of the King. Amen. Can we start with verse 1?
Well, once I was clothed in the rags of my sin, wretched and poor, lost and lonely within, but with wondrous compassion, oh, the King of all kings, in pity
talking about the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I want to say this. Before, do you believe it or not? You hear, you know it might be the truth. If you start praising God for who you don't believe you are, you will shed the garment of heaviness through the garments of praise, and something will happen in your spirit. You'll start to believe your confession. So whether you feel like a child of the King this morning or not, I want you to sing it, and I want you to praise God that you are, because something's going to shift in your spirit. And all of a sudden, your mouth is going to begin to confess something your body doesn't even know yet. And Brother Brennan says, your body will obey your confession. One more time. Oh, yes, I'm a child of the King. Sing it like you believe it, whether you do or not. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child. Make me want to keep going. Amen. Can we sing one more song? Psalms 34. Amen. I sought the Lord and he answered me. You know that one, right? Oh, no. Psalms 34. I know most of you guys know it. Okay, man, I do this everywhere I go. I would assume you all knew everything. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from every fear. Those who look on this poor man cried.
a song to end the service on. God is good, isn't he not? Amen. Amen. I enjoyed that. Brother Chris enjoyed that this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's not in trying, but in trusting. Let's sing that. I think that's in the key of F as well. It's not in trying, but in trusting. It's not in running, but in resting.
Before I
service and let you go home. As we go, let's sing that little chorus in key of G. He's alive and well, living in me to tell.
He's alive and well, living in me to tell.
I think that's on the 16th of May. So if you haven't signed up for that, please do so. It's on the HBT website. So they'd like to have a number of people that'll be coming. Let's sing that again.
Oh, he's alive.